turn to page 313. 313.
Oh,
wonderful site work, missing a few this evening, so appreciate the board letting us be here that's here. Some that wasn't here in the last service or two are here, so we're thankful for that, just for the Lord watching out for us and keeping us safe. It's like the pastor was talking about, I don't know if anybody else has this problem or struggles with this, but you know, there's times that I really just, I don't feel like the Lord's with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking this morning, the fact of the matter is, even in the times when I don't feel like He's with me, I'm still always just calling out to Him.
Yeah.
And if He wasn't there, I'd absolutely know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of, so it's one of them things, you know, this flesh, it sometimes keeps us from clearly perceiving those things of the Spirit. But that doesn't change the fact that He's there and He's watching over us,
yeah,
taking care of us. So I appreciate His constancy and our inconsistency.
I also sometimes feel like the milkshake would be good for me. But
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
So whenever I feel like He's not that close, I feel like He's not there. I just know I can't trust my feelings. I can trust what I know is true.
I know what you mean on that, brother. I've done that a few times. I've eaten something, I thought, anything that's good, man, would be good for you. But that just ain't how that works, is it? That's a pretty good example. I like that, preacher. I appreciate that. But anyway, we do need to come pray this evening. Wonder who's got a request of prayer by lifted hand. Amen. Amen. Remember all these. We got several requests. Continue to remember Brother Matt, what helped him with his foot there and get that straightened out. There's one of the dads in our homeschool group is going to have heart surgery. Did they say Tuesday? Is that what you said? Okay, Wednesday. So I'll remember him, and I really appreciate it if you help me. I remember a cousin of mine. He's, I guess it'd be third. Well, I guess I'm not going to try to do the math up here. But he was born in 88. So he's younger than me, and he's been struggling for years with a wound that, I mean, it's been a long, long time, like over 10 years that he's been struggling with this wound, never got healed up, and got a different doctor, and this fella, you know, really started doing some digging, because he felt like there was something else going on that was causing all these problems, and they have diagnosed him with leukemia. So just pray for him, and that the Lord would give grace to that family, and you know, don't know anything yet as far as you know how advanced they think it is or what they want to do or anything like that. So, really just pray for them. His name's Joseph Smith, that's my mama's sister's boy. So, remember him if you would. And as usual, I feel like there were several that I wanted to mention that kind of leaves me when I get up here. But who else has got a request this evening?
Tomorrow I'll go back to have my blood
checked. Okay, for your hemoglobin. Okay, amen. Remember this.
Remember, Daddy, he fell this morning, hit his head, and hurt his shoulder a little bit. I think he's okay. He's been doing real good. I was up our Monday, and he's doing really good. He's up and going. He's been driving a little bit. Best I've seen in the last 6 or 7 months, probably. But anyway, he fell this morning. Just pray for him. My sister, her 2 grandboys has got pneumonia. They're pretty young. They've been sick since before Christmas. And she's a worrywart over Daddy too. She probably lost 20 or 30 pounds. And so just pray for her. As much as you do, you know, they need your prayers too, but she really does.
Yes, amen. Amen. Remember this. Now, they didn't have to, like, take your dad into the hospital. Okay.
He didn't want to go. Afraid they'd try to keep him.
Yeah.
I think he's had his fill in the hospital for a while.
I went and checked on him this morning before I went to work. He wouldn't go to the doctor.
I'm not sure, but I think I might have seen him driving the other day. I didn't see the person, but it was a red Ford truck, and whoever it was honked as they passed me, and I saw a tow person. I said, man, I bet that's Fred.
That's the problem.
I'm glad he's getting to drive again a little bit. I guess, like, he's supposed to be able to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes, you know, especially.
They give Dalton Cooper license too, but that don't make me feel much better.
Yeah, I don't got too many years before I have to think about that. We were just talking about that earlier.
Just remember when you pray.
Amen. Amen. Remember these.
My mother Katie, she's also got pneumonia.
Yes, so he said pneumonia, and I was trying desperately to think of who I was told recently had pneumonia. Yeah, yeah, I remember Katie. Now, is Derek, I guess he's okay?
I thought I meant to, I was sitting here thinking, I meant to ask about. She said this one, she's still feeling really bad, and she said, we're just gonna sit for a couple of days. Today's what she's talking about.
See, she's two?
One.
One. Why not? Okay, for some reason, I thought she'd already had her birthday, okay. Trying to make them older than they are, I guess.
You just said it's not that late, so that's later than they're off.
You say he's running late, though?
Yeah, I got late.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I would like to make a little excited, many, they're trying to get them to bring these lessons, and I'm never enjoying this thing, because I've had so much stress over this blessed house. And I'm so thankful that we have a Bible, and I think it's set us on the offering. And God just blessed me through it, because I stress, and all of a sudden, I was reading something in a book, it was one of our women's books, and it was talking about worry, and that was me. And give it to God.
Yeah.
Quit worrying about it. If He knows, He should get done at this time. And I just needed to wait, and I waited, and then He was even better than what I thought. So it worked out to the good, and I'm so thankful, and thank y'all for helping me pray. I'm stressed with y'all too, telling y'all about it. But it was just, I needed it done,
Yeah.
And as I'm having patience, and you can ask God,
she says, well, why don't you worry? I say, well, you worry enough for both of us. So.
But anyway, I just pray for more than that. Just totally bless me. I just wanted to thank y'all, too, at the comedy show for Stoney taking up that offer. And it really helped, because just that came, and then it wasn't a few days later until the EMS bill came for him from back in October. Mm-hmm. And it was almost exactly in your mouth.
Oh, amen.
And I was like, what was this?
Amen.
And it was nice. So I'm just thankful. And I'm feeling better too. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And it's got to feel better. So we're still good. And we have a beautiful house over there on the river. So I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
I'm back in my element. I'm back in my home. I go up and down the road, see him pulled off the side, and I'm just like, there's something for it. People just don't care. He's trying to do it.
It goes on funny.
I guess it does. appreciate the Lord's help there.
Amen.
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 Yeah,
he's
helping you drive stop patients on my side.
I don't think that's how you reassure your wife.
That's one out of my driveway. It's huge.
Yeah. But speaking of Stephanie, do continue to pray for them and the baby. And now, when was the ultrasound day you told me?
Next Tuesday.
So a week from yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to do that early. I'll be screaming. So, because I had gestational.
So they do it earlier? Okay. Yeah. Christina was borderline with Ed, and that was kind of...
Well, thank you for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you for his blessings, being good to me. Like I said earlier, just giving me strength to do all the things I got to do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just feel like you just can't do it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you just ain't got time. I've noticed in here lately, that even though my time is short, it seems like that I've been spending more time praying. And you'd think I'd be using that time to get things done, but that's the only way I'm getting it done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I thank God for that. It's because of Him.
Amen.
It sure is. And I think He's given me strength to get things done. I just have a lot here lately, just get it once. And I just thank the Lord. I got no reason to complain. If I was just if it was just me, more man standing by myself, I'd be all business.
Yeah.
But just sitting back and seeing God do what he's been doing and helping me get through these things, it's been a blessing. I thank God for it. I thank God for my wife, my family.
Yes, amen.
And, pray for her. She told me, I'll say enough, but pray for her. She's had something this evening bothering her throat. I don't know if she swallowed something or what, but it just happened when I was eating dinner earlier. And she said it ain't worth mentioning. I said, well, it's really bothering her. Just pray for her. Just touch that. Take care of that for her.
Amen.
And pray for my friend Bob. He's come to church here a few times. Y'all probably know that. His son was a friend of mine, passed away a couple years ago, and his wife just passed away last year. He's still in his house, and he's moving and things, and he's got a long him too. So just pray for me.
Amen. Did everything go okay at Preacher Robert Assis' church that you know of? That we didn't get to go.
Yeah. Did you ever send that thing out? Oh, okay. Yeah, he messaged me and said that they wasn't going to have it Monday night. Because of, he was sick or something. I got home on day Monday, so I sent it to her. Had her some of that. But anyways, I've been wide open this week. I haven't been able to call in and find out.
Okay, yeah. Because they were still going to do it last time. Did I understand that right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, and we still got a thing at Baby's Chapel.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. So
I believe it's 7 Friday and 6 Saturday? 7 and yeah. 6, yeah.
Right. And I know you said he was preaching, but I can't remember.
It's Peyton one night, Peyton Wright one night, and Billy Avery one night.
That was, okay, I was thinking, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Amen. So do you remember that?
And I went to a baptism Sunday. And I just like for y'all to pray for that church because it was like one of those big money churches. They done the baptism, and then it was like 40 minutes of promoting what they're doing in the city. And then you had like 15 to 20 minutes of preaching, and it wasn't really like feeding no gospel. There wasn't no gospel of it, you know. But I didn't get fed. Like, I was disappointed after I left, you know, because they didn't feed you none. It was just like a few scriptures and a guy talking. So, and I just, you know, pray for those people.
Yeah.
In those type of churches because, you know, they need more Jesus than telling about what the pastor's done for the community.
Amen.
And I got a praise report, too. Colin got a cell phone. And we got to change numbers, and we was messaging a little bit this week, and that's something I prayed hard for, and I'm excited about that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just remember Kenneth
Mollis.
Mollis. Yeah, he had a severe stroke a couple of days ago. He's in Winston, in such condition. Just came here in the park. He's here.
He's here. His son was the one who got killed 7 years back over here near the Mount Calvary Church right there. He was going, he was just a young, like a teenager.
I think I remember right that, there. Yeah.
But, you know, now he's in trouble. I mean, his wife said he's completely paralyzed on his right side and everything. And we have a friend that works at Lowe's. Her name is Miranda. She's a black girl. She's always in pain. So, real, real sweet girl. But she found out this morning she has colon cancer. She's never been married, still lives with her mama. Mm-hmm. But, she's really, really sweet girl. Yeah, she's got colon cancer.
Amen. Remember that.
And Colby's doing better. Thank y'all for praying for him.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. So he's good to hear he's on there. Amen. Amen. Miss Edna's brother, are you doing any better?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's all there is. Let's all come pray.
talk to me in the life, just let me walk into a presence. I pray God that you continue to strengthen and help me to live for you and talk to you in my life, Lord, every single day. Lord, my fear approaches you and my legs in my life, for my family. Pray, Lord, that you help me, Lord, to lead them, bless them, and tell them, Lord, to touch their infirmities. I pray, Lord, for everyone that we mentioned tonight. God, that was sick, to sleep. Brother Fred, just give me, Lord, for just taking more of the baby blues. I pray, God, that you help them. I pray that you continue to heal and to help. Poor Brother Lee, I thank you for what you're doing for him. I thank you, Lord, for helping him. It's a little costly. May God continue to help and heal him. Lord, for all of his ministry, Lord, knows it's burdened and loves it's lost people, Lord. Lord, knows it's some special request to our hands and to others. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for everyone that's come this altar tonight, Lord, to share burdens with one another and to help and to love one another. Lord, I pray that you can help us have unity in this church and love one another and to forbear one another and love, Lord. I pray, God, that you continue to help us, Lord, to grow in the spirit and truth. Lord, that you help us add for our lives, Lord, the spirit, so that this edifies and grows. Lord, I pray, and I pray for every church, God, stray away from the truth. Let us just bring them in the line of you. Let me, Lord, not stray. Let them not this church stray. I pray, God, that you keep us on that straight and narrow. God, that we wouldn't wait for one side or the other, God. We would not forget, Lord, that it's all because of you, Lord. It's by your will, by your way, God, that we wouldn't be self-willed. Lord, no more we're trying to do things our own way. We're listening our own heart, but trust you in all ways. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come in and worship. Lord, I pray that you be glorified in this service. I pray, Lord, that you be exalted in the name of your Son, Jesus, be magnified.
Service, we got evening service, we got campfire devotions, and then we got devotions after the devotions. And you think, man, that's a lot. But now I'm telling you, you love it. And the more you're there, it's like, more church equals more God, more God equals more church, and vice versa, and vice versa. You just enjoy it. I realize today that the best movie in the world don't hold a candle to, you know, a very, I guess you might say, mediocre church service.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The best football game don't hold a candle, you know? I mean, I'd rather go over there and watch I'd rather go over there to that baptism where Nick went, where they didn't even have the Spirit of God in place, than I would watch something on TV. I mean, I was thinking, like, you know, that's what I was thinking the other day. I didn't say I feel that way tomorrow. Tomorrow I probably won't watch Dukes of Hazzard or whatever. You know? I felt that way today. Amen. And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
Does anybody know a song they want to sing before we get started? Amen. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Amen. I hope you girls ain't never ashamed to get up here and sing.
Yeah, maybe not.
I didn't get a blessing.
Appreciate that. Hey.
Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter number 15. Numbers, chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, "And if ye have heard and not observed all these commandments which the Lord has spoken unto Moses," "and even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord, for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel. And the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. He shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Father, we thank you for your word and pray, God, that you give us, Lord, discernment to rightly divide it tonight, God. I pray, God, that you would just add blessing to the reading of your word and to the preaching hour, Lord. May you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word as only you can, God. I pray that you would preach to us, God, that you would speak to hearts tonight and help me and everyone here tonight be drawn closer to you and to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and have thankfulness and conviction both in our hearts to do what is right. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for standing.
Well, I want to say, it'd been complicated to be Israelite, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Was you following along or was you zoned off somewhere? Either way, it's okay. If you're zoned off somewhere, I understand. That's a lie.
Yeah.
But we're talking about life or death.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better not zone off back then.
Yeah.
Moses is standing out and he's like, some of y'all's thinking right now, Lord, preacher, that's a long time to have to stand. Do you realize that there was books of this Bible in these first five books that were read?
See, yeah.
Not all of them, but we know all of Leviticus was read. And we know that parts of this was read. Parts of Deuteronomy was read. All this was read to the people in one day. And they stood this entire time. The congregation of Israel, thousands of people, they stood and they heard the word of God. And he's sitting here telling them, listen, he says, if you sin, this is what you need to do. Now listen, if a stranger sins, this is what they need to do. Listen, if the whole congregation sins, this is what they need to do. But he's talking about a specific type of sin, one that he says is a sin that is in ignorance, right? That's what he's talking about, meaning that you just don't know no better, right? You just don't know no better. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? And so, but nevertheless, the Bible says that even before the law, that death reigned from Adam, right?
Yep.
And the death is the result of sin, right? And so we were all in Adam, right? And death had come upon all men because all men had sinned. Every single person that was born had sinned, even without having knowledge of sin. Correct?
Yeah.
And so he said here that there must be atonement made. That atonement is a covering. That atonement is what covers the sin.
Yeah.
It is like in the very first instance we see this type of atonement is whenever that there was animals that were killed there in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were covered. And God says God covered their nakedness. God had made atonement for them. He had covered them. That atonement means to be atoned for, to be covered. And Jesus, we understand that he is our atonement, right? We do understand that Jesus Christ is our atonement, amen? But in the same sense, we have a greater and a deeper understanding of something here tonight in 2025 that many did not have the understanding of in this day and time, nor were they able of having that understanding because they did not have the New Testament. Understand this, that these people who stood all day and heard the Word of God read, they could have never have been as close to God as you and I were. That's what the Bible tells us.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've come by a new and better way, the Bible says, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood of bulls and goats could never fully and could forever atone for sin.
Right.
Because there had to be sacrifice made year after year. Sometimes intermediately. This is what it's talking about. This is not talking about the yearly sacrifice. This is talking about that if you sin ignorantly, you find out, somebody comes and tells you, a prophet comes and tells you, or if you read it in the law, you just say, oh, I missed that part. I wasn't paying attention. I was dazed off whenever they said that. I didn't know any better. Then it says, this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
And if it's a stranger in the land and they're staying there with you, this is what they need to do. And if your family does it, then this is what they need to do. And if they all do it, then this is what you need to do. And it tells the order of the sacrifices, and I about days off trying to read all that. And so I'm not going to try to read it all to you again, but you can go back and you can study, you can look at it. It's a blessing to study. But just understand this, that it's not just simple. It wasn't just simply kill an animal. There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it goes on to tell about how the priest are to be dressed. It tells about the fashion art has to be made. It tells about the fashion of everything. He tells them what kind of wood to use. He gives them exact dimensions. I mean, God is particular about these things. And so we see that. And we see that they know it ignorantly. And so we see that we can sin ignorantly. Sometimes you and I can sin ignorantly. But then he goes on to say this. And he says that there's some that have sinned presumptuously. Meaning that they know better.
Yeah.
And it says for them, for those that have sinned presumptuously, meaning that they knew better, it says in verse 30, whether he be born in the land or a stranger. He says, you know what? Here we don't have different roles. For the one that's born presumptuously, for the one that sins knowingly, meaning that they knew better. He says for them, he says whether they be born in the land
or strangers the same reproach of the Lord. He said it's the same problem, which means it reproaches God. It insults God, is what he's saying. And so he goes on to say this. He says, and that soul should be cut off from among his people. Whose people? God's people. He says this because he has despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Now we could go into looking at that and we could go into, dissecting that. But we know that the Israelites wasn't really that great at keeping the law, then, were they?
Yeah.
Amen? If that were the case, then King David wouldn't have made it very far, would he? I believe he sinned knowingly, didn't he?
Yeah.
And King Solomon definitely wouldn't have made it very far.
Yeah.
They'd have thrown him out 100 times over. They'd have said, listen, you got to leave, you got to go out here, you got to get without the camp. And so we see that even they didn't keep the law. Well, how then were they justified? How was David justified if he wasn't doing all these things? And if he wasn't being cast out, he didn't have his iniquity upon him, did he? And so what we see then is that there is this other thing that is better than atonement. Atonement is good. Jesus is our atonement. But there's another thing, and it's called redemption. And he is our redeemer. Now we know that the Old Testament saints, that they somewhat understood this. Even Job had said, my redeemer liveth. Amen.
Yes.
He understood that redemption has to do with what we would call being born again. It's being made new. It's being brought back into the fold. You have sinned your way out of God's presence. You've sinned your way out of God's goodness, of God's favor. And by grace, you are brought into that.
Yeah.
And that is called redemption. That's why it's called redeemed, right? If you've been deemed something, then you've been given a title, right? Our title is this: we're created in the image of God to glorify God. And guess what? Because all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, we all mess up and we lose that.
Yeah.
And so we need to be redeemed. You understand that?
Yeah.
I know that I'm not the best. I'm not an English major, nothing like that. But I think it's a pretty simple definition.
Yeah.
If a redneck like me can understand it, I know hymns can all understand it. Amen. But that being redeemed, it means something even greater. And so now I want to go to Galatians in chapter 3. I don't want to just scare you to death, but I'm going somewhere tonight. If you'll just stay with me, I'm going to Galatians in chapter 3. Get with me there. Let me back up a little before. All right, it's 1 and 2 Corinthians so long. All right, Galatians in chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read through some of this. I'm not going to read, and I'm not going to go through verse by verse this whole chapter, but I do want to read some of this. I want you to see what the Lord's saying to us here through Paul as he's writing to the church in Galatia. And he starts out in chapter 3, verse 1 like this. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh? And so what he's saying to the church in Galatia is this. He said, what God done in you to begin with was strictly by his grace and by his Spirit. Amen. He come into your life, he put a light in your path, and he drawed you to himself, and what he done was a work that he done. It wasn't one work that you done. And so what he's saying is this, how then can your works then justify you now? If what began in you was something that was absolutely 100% spiritual, then how is your flesh and works able to justify you or make perfect your flesh? It's not. Guess what does make us perfect? It's the supernatural spiritual thing called sanctification through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah.
That is what makes us able to walk in the Spirit. The only time we can please God is to have the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot please God.
Right.
Amen. And so what happened in the beginning of our salvation is going to be what's going to carry us through our salvation, and it's going to be what's going to ultimately deliver us into eternity with Him at the end of our salvation. Amen.
Yeah.
And so we see that He says this. He says that we understand this, that the working of the law is not how we're justified, but it is by faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. He says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith that are the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel of Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as being heirs of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Do you realize that goes so much beyond the Ten Commandments?
Right.
That goes into what we just read.
Yeah.
That he says, if you're not doing the sacrifices, if you're not doing everything that I tell you to do, he said, there is a curse upon you. There is nothing that can justify you other than completely and absolutely being fulfilled in the law of God. And he goes on to say this. He says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. He says, Christ, verse 13, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise God. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He says that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Like I said before, we were deemed in the image of God to glorify God. And we messed that up from the time that we first opened our lips.
Yeah.
Amen. But he has redeemed us. And he says that he has been made a curse for you and I.
Yes.
You know what that means? That means that my sin and your sin was applied to him on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
He paid for it. He didn't just cover it, praise God.
Right.
It wasn't just something that was covered up. You know what happens? Any kind of covering, it wears out. You ever put a cover on your boat? It don't last. You ever put a roof on your house? It don't last.
Yeah.
You ever put a any kind of covering, it needs repairing and it needs fixing.
Yeah.
But praise be to God, he made something new. He made something everlasting. He took that which was finite and he applied the infinite. He took that which was mortal and he brought immortality. Amen. He took that which was disgust and full of filth and made it righteous.
Amen.
And he paid for my sin. He became the curse for me and for you. And he goes on to say this. He says, brethren, verse 15, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto.
Yeah.
Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it should make the promise of none of it. What he's talking about is the law of Moses come 430 years after he made the promise of Abraham.
Yeah.
He says this. He says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise.
Yeah.
Wherefore then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions. Listen to this. Are you paying attention? This is going to answer a lot of your questions. It's going to answer questions you're going to have tomorrow. It's going to answer questions you had yesterday. It's going to answer questions you had next week. Pay attention to this. This is what he says. He says this. He says, it was added, come up the law. He says, the law, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Talking about Jesus coming to those people. And he says this, he says, to the seed you come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? He says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That means you and I, every person, every being. That's what it says when it says it concluded all. It's including every person. And by that it says this, it says, it hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, listen to this, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Amen. Do you understand? Do you see what the purpose of the law is? So he says it's a schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ. He said that we were under the law when we were lost. Amen. How about that? You were serving the law of God, whether you were a Jew or whether you were a Jew, whether you were a Gentile or a Greek or an African, or if you were in South America, or if you were in Russia, or anybody born on any island that's never even seen a white face or a Jewish face. It doesn't matter. They are under the law of God. Why? Because God has ordained it to be so until the gospel should be revealed unto all them. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Him alone.
Yeah.
He said this to Thomas. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. I am the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except to be by me. Amen. He is the only way.
Amen.
And that is why I am going that way. That's why I know that one day where He's at, I will be there also. It is not because of what I've done or who I am, but it is because who He is. Now let me get to the point. I'm sorry, that's the introduction. This has been one of the messages where it's like a house with a big front porch. And it's about 800 square foot, one bedroom, and it's flat. And so you're going to get through, you know, real easy. So just hold on. Just don't let me lose you yet. Don't tune out yet. Going back to where we was at. We were just in, and I'm going to jump back and forth here for a second. But we were just over in Numbers in chapter 15. And we had just read this point. Talking about those who sin willingly or knowingly. And we read that in verse number 30. And it said that they should be cut off. And then we read a story in verses 32 to 36 about a man who was gathering sticks on a Sabbath day. And they called him and they put him in jail. And they said, what should we do with him? And this is what the Bible says in verse 35. It said, the Lord, listen to this, the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation was stoned. Now how about that? That all he's doing is gathering, I don't know what he's gathering sticks for. Maybe he's building a house. Maybe he's starting a fire. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But gathering sticks don't sound like that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yet, here we find that this man's going to be put to death. But this man knew better. He knew that this was a day to be observed. This was a day that he should regard the Lord. This was a day that he should go and that he should worship. He understood that this was a day that was set aside, that he shouldn't be out there toiling in the earth trying to get something else done, but that it should be set aside and it was sanctified unto the Lord, and that he should be devoting himself to worshiping the Lord. And yet, so he was stoned. And this is what was going on with me tonight. And I use this in Galatians about the law being our schoolmaster and all this to understand this. The law is our schoolmaster. What it's trying to teach us through this example is this. understanding of the schoolmaster means a teacher.
Yeah.
Means a scholar of a teacher. Okay? And what it's trying to teach us through this example we have in the Old Testament is this, is that there's consequences to disobeying God.
Yeah.
There is consequences to disobeying God. In this instance, we see the ultimate consequence, which is death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, I quote it all the time, verses 26 through 31. It says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, or made no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking forward, fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries.
Yeah.
It says, if under Moses' law, man was put to death under two or three witnesses. That's what we have here.
Yeah.
There was two or three saw him gathering sticks, and they put him to death. He says, if under Moses' law, man's put to death under two or three witnesses, of how much sore. So now think about this. We're thinking right now, this is severe, right? Yeah. We're thinking, this is radical, all right? When they talk about radical Christianity, I believe that this would be pretty close, right? I believe they probably read stuff like this, and that's what these atheists used to say, that God's this big and mean, and no, God is just and righteous,
yes,
is what he is. And so we would consider this severe, but the Bible tells us in the New Testament, right? In the book of Hebrews, which is under Jesus Christ, are we on the same page tonight?
Yes.
It says, how much sore punishment. Go write a note down, Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 31. Go look at it. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, should he be thought worthy of, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done all despite unto the Spirit of grace?
Yeah.
It says, for the Lord saith, vengeance belongeth unto me, he will recompense. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
And so we see the ultimate consequence of disobeying God is death.
Amen.
I want to say this. God spoke to your heart and said, you're lost and you need to be born again. There's a consequence to disobeying God.
Yes.
There's a consequence to going the wrong way. There's a consequence to putting it off and saying, I'll figure out another way. The Bible says the same as a thief and a liar. You'll not come up no other way.
Right.
It's going to be by the door. It's going to be through the sheet. It's going to be through the fold, into the fold. It's going to be by an invitation from the shepherd himself, the good shepherd. Amen. I'm glad that when I was lost and I was bound in darkness, the good shepherd reached out and he put that staff around my neck and he pulled me up out of the muck and mire. I didn't get there on my own. I didn't go looking for him. I wasn't trying to find him. I was happy living my one life in the head of the hell, and I would have stayed that way had he not got me and brought me through the door.
Amen.
And he's extended that invitation, I'm sure, to some of you tonight. And he's offered you salvation that is only through him. And the consequence of disobeying God, the ultimate consequence is death.
Amen.
But there's also other consequences. We see how when there's those that sin ignorantly, it says there needs to be an atonement. That's what he was the atonement for you and I for. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, he says, I write unto you that you sin not. Amen.
Right.
He said, if any man sin, he said, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah.
Notice what he said, if any man sin, you're still going to do things you just don't know no better.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know better, but you forget. That's what it means to be a finite mortal. We forget. But he says that we have a mediator, amen. We have an advocate with the Father. We have an atoning blood, amen. It's paid for that. We don't have to bring no sacrifice. We don't have to bring a kid. We don't have to bring a lamb. That's all been paid for, amen. We just have to say, Lord, thank you. Now forgive me. And thank you for being the blood sacrifice for my sin.
Amen.
But if we sin willfully, if we sin presumptuously, if we knowingly do something that is against the will of God, there is consequences for that.
Yeah.
Now, if you're saved, I want you to understand something tonight. According to the Word of God, you're not saved because you keep the law.
Right.
The law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. If you're saved, it's because Jesus Christ's blood was shed for your sins. And that is the only reason.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. A Christian, a good God-fearing Christian can still sin knowingly.
Yeah.
You do it all the time.
Yeah.
but there's consequences to it.
Amen.
What I'm saying is this, is God's trying to speak to your heart even tonight, and he said that thing that he's put his finger on tonight, he said that thing that's in your life, he said there's consequences of it. Look at one of the consequences, and this is for the one that is the believer. This is what he says. He says in verse number 30 and 31, he says this. He says, whether it be one that's born in the land or a stranger, he said, the same reproach of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. It says, first of all, in verse number 30, that he shall be cut off from among his people. You know what it'll do? It'll cause you to break fellowship with your people. It'll cause you to break fellowship with other Christians. Guess what? When you're caught up in sin, you don't want to fellowship about God with other Christians. You know why? Because you're consumed with guilt. You're consumed with conviction. You're just consumed with everything that's telling you you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be laughing about that and talking about that. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be looking at that. You shouldn't be doing this thing or that thing. Or you should be doing something. It can go either way.
Yeah.
But either which way you want to look at it. Whenever you're like that, whenever we get like that, we don't want to be around God's people. That's why people start laying out of church. That's why people don't want to stay around a fellowship. That's why they don't talk about anything and everything to God.
Yeah.
That's boring, they'll say. I just want to talk about so much. You know what it is? It's because the holiness of God does not exist in your life. And it's not something that you want to talk about. Why? Because the same way a lost person don't want to talk about it. The same reason the atheist don't want to talk about it. Because it offends you. Because this flesh is convicted and doesn't like the convicting power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Happens to me, happens to all of us when we get like that. Another consequence is this, we lose fellowship to God.
Yeah.
He said that they'll be cut off from his people, and he said they'll be utterly cut off. Whenever we have knowledgeable sin in our life, we lose fellowship with God. Preacher, you know who's talking about feeling like God thankless? I know why whenever I feel that way. It's because I'm such a miserable Christian. Most of the time. That's the reason that I feel distant from God. It's because of my failures and how I fail. And you know what happens, Preacher Billy? I don't know why I do this. I hate that I do this, Preacher Billy. I wish you'd tell me why. This is what I do. When I get to sin, and when I get to acting sinful in my heart and mind, I don't want to repent about it. I want to stay in my own ways. I don't know why I'm so stubborn. And you know what? It don't do me no good.
Right.
All it does is just make me miserable. It makes me, it just consumes me, and it bothers me to no end, but yet this flesh just wars against that spirit.
Yeah.
Praise be to God for the day that I can shell this mortal body, this sin-cursed body, and be given a glorified body that's not tempted with sin anymore.
Yeah.
But while I'm stuck in this body, it's the fight I have to fight.
Yeah.
And it's a fight you're going to have to fight.
Yeah.
And if we ain't fighting, just realize this, there is consequences.
Amen.
Yeah. We lose fellowship. Lose fellowship with God. His spirit's not present or life. Nick, he's talking to that church. What was that? It's lacking the spirit of God. That's what happens in places a lot of times. They do things, they start making the church into the world, and they take the word and they want to twist it and make it conform to their ideas rather than have their ideas conform to the word. And the next thing you know, God writes in the Bible, the glory of God's departed the place, and it's not there, and you can't feel it, and you can't sense it. And guess what? That church don't do no good for nobody. Nick said he didn't get fed. You know why? Because that man probably a whole lot more educated than I am. But that's what he realized. It ain't about me, and it ain't about him. It's about the Spirit of God feeding you. Amen. That's what it's about. And the only way that happens is whenever we're in fellowship with God. Whenever we have an invitation for him to be here. Mm. You can be in church, you've been in church, and everybody's excited, and everybody's just tore up, and you just don't see it, you just don't feel it.
Yeah.
We feel like anyone we do, we're so stubborn. Mm-hmm. To just repent and say, God, whatever it is in my life, show me.
Yeah.
Point it out. If it's pride, if it's greed, whatever it is, just show it to me. Help me to get it right. I want people to feel the presence of God around me.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my youngins grow up and only ever see me at my worst
thing about a preacher's family. They gotta see preacher, they gotta see the pastor at his best, they gotta see him at his worst. It'll either make great Christians out of them, or it'll make sorry Christians out of them. Guess what? Your kids are watching you too. That one word that you witnessed to, they're watching you. That family member, that friend that you've got that you think really don't care, and you think they're so opposed to everything that's got anything to do with God or church, they're watching you. I wonder if they feel God's presence around you, or you're fighting so hard to stay in your own way. There's consequences to disobey God. One of them might be that when we get to heaven, there might be some soul that's not there because we disobey God. It's life or death. He said there's a sore punishment. That means a worse and more severe punishment. In the New Testament, he said this.
Yeah.
For those that trample under Christ. Jesus didn't die for you so you could just go back to living the way you was and have it your way. Christianity ain't Burger King. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, that unto a man, and the end thereof is destruction. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Are you humble enough tonight to say, Lord, help me with my struggles? Lord, forgive me. I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to be in fellowship with my Christian brothers and sisters. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to nobody. You know why we avoid doing things that are wrong? It's because we don't want to pay for the consequences. You'd speed everywhere you go if there wasn't a law to pull you over. We'd all probably steal and do all kinds of things because we could get away with it. There's consequences to disobeying God too. He sees everything. He is long-suffering. He's patient. Why he's been long-suffering in your life, why he's been patient, don't wait for God to have to finally bring chastisement against you to get you to see. Don't have to make our loving Father come and take you to the woodshed, so to speak, so that you can finally see the thing that you need to bring and surrender to him, but to do it now. I want to ask if there's anybody here tonight, God's convicted your heart and told you you're lost and you need to be saved. Why don't you come? Be in him forevermore. Be a part of something that will never leave you. He said he'd never leave you, never forsake you. Are you able to keep your own salvation? Are you able to justify yourself? If you need him, seek him while he may be found. Father, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. And I pray, God, and ask you to forgive me of all the times I failed you and how miserable I am, Lord. And I thank you for helping me and sanctifying me. And, Lord, helping me to live a life, God, that glorifies you. Lord, it's because of you. All that I am is because of you. And in all the areas I fail you, I pray that you'd have mercy and help me. God, I don't want to stay those ways. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to completely and absolutely turn over any bad attitude or character trait to you. God, that you would just reign in my life, God, that you would have absolute control, Lord, that I would follow you, that I'd seek you in every matter. Lord, forgive me for my faithlessness and how that I struggle sometimes to trust you and just to leave it in your hands. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me and increase my faith, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help me to be obedient to you and not to be stubborn. Lord, I pray that you'd arrest my stubborn heart, God, and bring it under a complete and absolute submission. I pray, God, that you would continue to have mercy on me. And Lord, just let me give you thanks one more time for your mercy.
I want to thank you for your love and kindness, God. And I want to thank you for your presence and for your help. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for this church, God. I thank you for my family. And I thank you for loving me before I ever even knew anything about what love meant, that I even could love me. I thank you, Lord, for all you do. I pray that you do with every need that's on every heart tonight, Lord. I know that there's some that come. I know there's some that's in the pews that you're dealing with right now, Lord. I pray that you have sweet mercy upon them, God, and help them, Lord, with the struggles of life. Lord, whatever it is that they're going through, that they're struggling with, I pray, God, that you help them to surrender that to you also. Lord, bring them to a place of humility, God, and help us all just to look to you, Lord, for our righteousness and to rely on you, God. But at the same time, Lord, to understand and know always, God, that we have a great responsibility to be obedient and to trust you, and that if we do trust you, then we will be obedient. We will desire to serve you, for you're so worthy. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you and to be a part of all that you're doing. Help us, Lord, tonight, tomorrow, and the days to come, to take this word, to reflect on it, and to be reminded of what you've done for us each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Is all hearts and minds clear?